If you find this podcast, this is for you. Our lives are written in ink. There are no backspaces, cancels, or delete buttons. But beauty and redemption emerge when we embrace our ink-stained imperfections and share them with one another. This is how we find our strength. This is how we renew our resolve. This is how we overcome. You're listening to the Inkfully Podcast, and I'm your host, Tanya Woods. Okay, you guys, what's going on? Welcome back to the Inkfully Podcast. Thank you for joining me today. Hey, this episode is part two. Part one is the episode just before this one, which would make sense, right? And on this episode, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the topic of identity and specifically diving into this concept of self-discovery and why it's important if you feel like you're in the middle of a search for your identity, you just feel like lost in life or wherever you are, whatever season that you're in, how to get back to who you are and do some self-discovery. And this is something that I personally am going through. I'm not fully on the other side of, but I am in a place where I've had some deep revelation and I'm taking the action steps in order to kind of press on to becoming and owning and occupying everything that God has for me. So I want to share that with you today. Now, if you didn't listen to part one, please go back and listen. But just to do a quick summary, my husband and I sat down and we kind of went through my own history, my own personal story of struggling with my identity, when it started, like what it looked like to be a wife and a mother and, you know, have everything get stripped away from me, you know, specifically being a stay-at-home mother, everything got stripped away. Everything that I put my identity in was pulled back and I was left standing naked and afraid of what the future held and ashamed and insecure, all the things. So it's a really, really good episode. I definitely would encourage you to check it out. But today, I really want to go a little bit deeper about something that can be universally relatable. And I'm sure you can pull things out from the other story too if you're not in the season of marriage and motherhood. But whether you are or aren't, I feel like we all reach a place in our life where we stop doing all of the things and question, where are we? And we look up and wonder if what we're actually doing or working towards is the person we desire to be. And have we done the things in our life that really mean something, that really matter most to us, you know? That could be, you know, you could be, have been, for example, I was talking to a friend recently and, you know, she is now a doctor. And, you know, so you spend what, 10 years of your life pursuing a degree in medical studies, right? And now you're on the other side of that. You've reached the, you know, culmination of, I guess, this profession. You know, you're actually doing the day in and out tasks of being a doctor or a lawyer or whatever it is that you do. And you might say to yourself, was it all worth it in the end? And caveat, am I actually doing all the things that I desire to do? Maybe you are a doctor, but you're actually a creative. You know, maybe there's other parts of you that you really want to explore and give yourself permission to explore. And so I think that this conversation that we're going to have will be really helpful if you feel like you're in that place where you feel a little bit stuck. You feel a little bit trapped. You feel that anxious energy of like, I want more out of life. Like I want to see some things that are hidden deep in me that no one knows about released. And so I hope that this is helpful. So before I start, I really want to share something with you. If you are with me on this, if you are a believer, you guys know I am. I believe in the Lord. He saved me. He changed me. He did all the things for your girl. So that is what this space holds. And I have to say that before we talk about taking solo locations and self-care and all that, it's really, really important for me to emphasize that your identity is rooted. It's rooted in your relationship with Christ. And I think that this is so important to say because we can talk about everything else, you know, how to have better character and how to, you know, take care of yourself better and everything else. But if this truth, if this one truth is your truth that we mutually share, then it's really important for me to then emphasize for you, sis, that you need to sow into that relationship first, into this relationship with Christ, with your creator, with Jesus, and say, hey, like, I'm struggling to know who I am. And I know that you've written a really good book that tells me a lot about who I am. Help me to see those parts that my emotions may not agree with. Help me to see the things that I cannot say, that I cannot see on my own, you know? And I think that that's so important because the Bible is full of promises and it's full of truth and speaking truth into you about who you are and who God created you to be. The creator of the universe created you for a purpose and a plan, and he has really, really good things to say about you. So I really want to take the time to stop there and say, hey, first and foremost, our identity is rooted there. Secondly, my husband asked me on the first show that I just recorded, you know, what is my definition of identity? And I really thought about it a little bit, took a second to like let it sit in after the show. And this came to me. Your identity is who you are when everything that the world defines you by gets stripped away. I mean, take away your accolades, take away your accomplishments, take away your vocation, your follows, your blue checks, and your status. Take that all away. What is left? Who are you when no one sees you and no one knows your name? This is your true identity. That to me speaks volumes about the character of us and what really, really matters in the end. Because guess what, y'all? When we get to our dying day, like, you won't care about how many people are following you, how many people are liking what you have to say, how many degrees you have. None of that is going to matter. What's going to matter is how you treated the people that God placed in your path, your character, you know, how you treated other people, how you loved people, and how you loved yourself, and how you loved God. Those are the things that matter in the end. So I want to start there before I say anything else, and I hope that helps someone today. Okay, let's get to this solocation. So, boom, here we go. So I went to a journaling workshop recently. It had to be like 3 months ago, right? And this journaling workshop was led by Kuke Monster on Instagram. Her name's Kay. She's really cool. She's super dope. And Kay McCoy, she's a photographer, but she led a journaling workshop while she was here in Atlanta. And while I was there, guys, I had an amazing like reckoning experience where I kind of reformatted the way that I thought about how I journal. And this is just a quick caveat before I talk about my soul location because it led to that. So I'm here. She's leading us in a journaling workshop. She's giving us prompts and kind of stirring us up to have this love for self-discovery through journaling again. And I had already been on a journey of self-discovery for about a year and a half now. The first, maybe 2 years. The first was going to LA with some friends and taking my first like getaway with friends, which I learned a lot about myself on that trip. But that's for another time. The second was going to LA again with my husband. And on both of those, I reconnected with the girl in me that had been like lost or just hadn't had no showtime in years, right? And I also talk about that on part one as well, if you want to hear a little bit about that experience. But so while I'm journaling, right, this is like the next phase of self-discovery, I started to talk about like this one word thing. What's the one word that best describes how I feel in my life right now? And so as I wrote this, I literally wrote that down. What is one word that best describes how you feel in your life right now? I started writing a bunch of words. I wrote at that time, May 31st, I wrote this. I feel trapped, unsure. I feel grateful, stuck, drained, exhausted, burnt out, somewhat hopeful, alone, insufficient, fatigued. So any emotion that came to mind, I wrote that down as it relates to how I feel in life right now. The one, and then I circled the one that I feel the most prominently, and that was trapped. the word that stood out to me the most was trapped, because I felt like I was trying to fight for myself, but so many things were preventing me from being, from showing up in life and being the person that I desire to be and showing up in the way that I desire to show up in the world. So, then I kept asking myself questions. This literally just started flowing out of me, you guys. So I asked myself next, what is trapping you? And my responses were things like the burden of and responsibility of motherhood, trying to fight and find space for myself, constantly exhausted and burnt out from my kids. I feel like I'm failing everything and everyone. Another question, what are some things that would release this trap? What would freedom look like for you? What would it feel like to you? So kind of like a three-part question. Freedom would be, this is my response, and that would be time for myself to think and to just figure this shit out. Ask myself the hard questions, like what do I want out of life? What do I want? That's what it looks like to me. It would be time to explore and to create, time to connect, and time to adventure alone. So that's what I wrote, May 31st. And then I said, the next question came. This is all to and from me. I hope you guys are following this. Be more specific. That was my kind of question slash demand to myself. So then my response was, if money were no object, I would put my kids all in care and use that time to begin a journey of healing, of growth, of creative expression without guilt or feeling like I have to prove myself or prove my worthiness, to be liberated, to have that kind of time without bringing in or generating my own income just yet. And then I said, I would like to take a few trips by myself to face all the fears and insecurities that have emerged over time, like making decisions independent of my husband, navigating the unknown, and just sitting with myself and being okay with it. Then I asked myself another question, y'all. I asked myself, what would it require to make this happen? And my response was giving myself permission, taking myself seriously. Of course, it would take money. That was number two. And three, sacrifice on behalf of my husband and my family's part. Then the next question was, what are your next steps? My next step was to have a conversation and look at the numbers. And then I gave myself a call to action, which was to do one thing that you just said. One thing. What is your one thing? For me, it was to buy a plane ticket. Finally, my last question was, how does this kind of freedom make you feel? And my answers were liberated, peaceful, sure, loved, joyful, confident, fun, enough, full. Full being the one that I circled. I feel full. What a contrast to the beginning of this journal entry when I said that I felt trapped, you know, and I said that by doing these things, I knew that I would feel full. So after I did this exploration and had this like aha moment, this epiphany, I felt energized. I gave myself the questions and the answers and the tools I needed. Literally, God dropped all of these things in my spirit to be able to navigate my own healing and to navigate what I needed in my next steps of self-discovery. So I wanted to openly and candidly share that with you guys before I take you through my soul location journey to say that if you are really, really serious about, you know, figuring out what you need, one, I highly recommend journaling. I actually have a podcast coming up that dives a little bit deeper into Kay's story and why journaling had become such a transformative tool in her life as well. But I highly recommend you guys consider that. Consider those questions that I put out there. I am working on some resources for you guys as it relates to that. So just a little plug right there. But I say all that to say, if you are wanting to take a soul location to do some self-discovery, it starts at the point where you can put words to what it is that you're feeling and what it is that you're sensing. Now, it might take you some time to really, really get clear on that and to figure it out. But I want to tell you, sis, to please do the work, do the hard work of showing up for yourself and figuring it out, figuring out what it is that you need and what the next steps for you are. You know, it might look different for me. I am a stay-at-home mom with three kids and I have one with special needs. That might look completely different for you than it does for me. But we all have some areas in our life where we want to see growth and we want to see change. And there's some things in our identity that we want to reshape. And I want to give you permission as I give myself permission to explore those things further. Now, when I talk about self-advocacy, the biggest thing that I want to say is like it's a multiple step process and journey. And the first of the journey of self-discovery is awareness. So as I've just been alluding to, being aware that there's something in your life that, you know, for me, it was like me saying, hey, something's not right. Like something's off. There's something in my life that is not going the way that I desire it to go or is not allowing me to operate at the full capacity to be able to show up for not only for myself, but the other people in my life and love them how they need to be loved so that, and loving myself how I deserve to be loved. You know what I mean? And so, that's really important. Like I said, using journaling as a way to do some soul searching and become aware, have God reveal to you, ask God to reveal to you, like what areas of my life have I been quietly struggling with and I haven't really found the voice or the words to yet. Okay, part two in that journey is self-advocacy. And self-advocacy is essentially showing up at the table, taking yourself seriously and saying, I deserve to have a say in my own life. You know, we have a tendency to talk ourselves out of what we really want or need, like whether it's in a relationship or whether it's just something for ourselves or in our career. You know, I see it so many places. It can show up in so many forms. You know, obviously for me, it's in my marriage, but there could be something that you need to talk about with your boss in your career and say, hey, come to the table and just say, hey, seriously, there's things I need to address. I remember coming to Aaron and saying to him, hey, we need to talk. Like there's some things that are happening in our marriage that they're not serving me well anymore. And I had to essentially put on my big girl panties and essentially convince myself. It wasn't even about him. I had to convince myself that I was worthy enough to even have that conversation. Like, girl, you have every right to have a seat at this table, pull up a big girl chair and take yourself seriously. Take your desires seriously. Take your interests seriously. You know, it's not, oh, that's cute. Pat yourself on the head. Go back to raising my kids. Like, no, this is something that's really important to me. And we need to figure out how to make space in our marriage and in my life for those things. You know, this is what I want. This is what I need. And how can we make this happen? The point is you have to take yourself seriously before anyone else is going to take you seriously. So I ended up speaking with Aaron, my husband, about it. And to be honest with you, most of the time when I am talking to him about what I need, you know, I am screaming at the top of my lungs, like, can't nobody take me seriously? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he does, but he doesn't, you know, I'm flailing. I'm saying at the point where I'm like already drowning, you know, I'm like, I feel like I'm trapped. I'm leaving. Y'all, I tried to leave like for real in the middle of the night one time. And Holy Spirit was like, girl, if you don't have a seat, ma'am. You know, and but to be honest with you, I'm like packing my bag, pacing my floor, you know, at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m. I'm like, I'm leaving. I'm booking my ticket. I'm catching Uber and I'm out of here. I got to get out of here, get away from these kids, get away from my husband, la, la, la. And we had just had an argument and I threw my ring across the room, like all the things, child. I would had just like reached my end. You know what I mean? And I say it in just now. But at the time, I was really upset, like, for real, like, I'm about to leave. I'm about to peace out. Like, you know, I didn't want to leave my marriage, but I needed a break, right? And so, and I really just didn't want to wake up the next day and still be feeling the same thing and saying the same thing. And I felt like he wasn't able to see me in that moment or take me seriously in that moment. But I had to be able to advocate for myself strongly and confidently from a rational place, from a calm place, from a clear headspace, you know, So finally, I graduated in my maturity to be able to do that, to where I pulled him aside, we sat down, and I was like, hey, I want to book a ticket to go somewhere completely alone, like without you, without our children, for whatever reasons and purposes I desire, and I need your support, and I need to know when it works for your schedule, like period. And so I got the clearance. We both were in agreement. I didn't have to leave in the middle of the night and act crazy. So once he did that, you guys, tell me why it still took me another 3 months to book my ticket, though. Like, why? Why, ma'am? Why? And I'll tell you why. It was just like the guilt, you know, every time I would get to that window or that screen of buy your ticket, ma'am, press the price is good, press checkout now. Like, everything in my mind was like, oh, but the kids need me. They're going to be doing this. They're going to be doing that. You know, I literally would give myself so many reasons and excuses to back myself out of what I need for me. Once again, putting myself on the back burner, until one day I was like, Tanya, enough is enough. You have to do this for yourself or you are not going to make it. So I finally did it. And that was such a big day for me to buy that ticket. And I know for some people, you may not struggle in that way, but that goes to show you how bad it had gotten for me just to be able to care for my own needs. Like, I would constantly talk myself out of it. So I booked my ticket to Miami and off I went. The day came, and it's amazing how you make adjustments once something is booked. Like, you figure it out, right? You make the necessary adjustments in order to make whatever you have planned happen, because ain't nobody wasting no money. You know what I'm saying? We going on this trip. So yeah, that was a really big highlight for me, a really big win for me. And you have to be able to celebrate small victories. Like, booking that ticket was a huge, huge victory for me to get over that hill and say, you are enough. You are worth it. And if you are listening to this and you feel like you're in that space, I'm encouraging you, as I encouraged myself, you are enough. You are worth caring for yourself first. And don't believe the lie that it's selfish. It's not selfish. It helps you to show up better for everyone else in your life. You are doing them a disservice if you're constantly putting yourself in last place, because you can only give out of, you can't give out of an empty vessel, like, period. So if you keep trying, you're going to keep exhausting yourself and feeling undone, feeling worn down, feeling frustrated. And then there's the solution. Right? So you got to come up with a solution. What's one thing you can do today that will get you closer to becoming or operating or healing that part of your identity? And so that is really important to define one thing, because we can make a list of things. We can, you know, go off in La La Land dreaming about the things, you know what I mean? Dreaming about being, I don't know, the next pianist or, you know, ballet dancer person, whoever, and we're like a whole 45, you know, but, you know, maybe there's one thing you can do today, like take the class, you know, invest in yourself, invest in your wellness, invest in your health. It's so important. You know, we invest in, as women, we invest in so many other things. If you're a mother, we're quick to get our kids back to school clothes. We're quick to get them the new shoes they need, or to do everything else for everyone else. And finally, we have to stop and say, like, I am going to actually stop investing in other people just for a moment so that I can actually invest in myself and do something that will fill me up so that I can fill other people up. All right. Hopefully I didn't overemphasize that point. So all of that being said, I hope you are still here with me. I hope this is resonating with you. I'm going to share about my journey. So a month ago, I took a trip to Miami, and Miami is actually the place where I was born. I was born in Miami back in, y'all don't even know my age. Just kidding. I'm acting like I'm mad old. 86, y'all, where my 80s baby's at. So, I was born in Miami, and then my family and I, we moved out of Miami probably like 4 or 5. And I don't think I ever revisited the city again, to be honest with you. We moved to the burbs, and I just really, you know, I might've gone here or there, but I never really appreciated the city that I was actually born in. So I wanted to book a trip, and it was cheap. I'm coming from Atlanta. It's like $100. So I'm like, how can I get away, you know, on the shortest trip on the smallest dollar that I can and still have some time for myself. And I went with the intention of really not telling my family I was going to be there. I know that's so bad. I told my sister and that's it, but not my mom and dad. And because I just really wanted this to be my time. Like, I didn't want to get into the flow of like, okay, visit family, go over mom's house, go over dad's house. You know, I wanted something completely different. And I had some specific goals in mind for the trip. And I think that's important to emphasize too. What are you wanting to get out of the trip or out of the solo location that you're taking? Define that before you leave, because what ended up happening was I was defining that while I was on my trip, and that actually caused a really big anxiety breakdown, meltdown on my first day, because I felt like I was here and I had this limited amount of time and I didn't know what I wanted to do with it. So define what your goals are for your solo location before you go. You know what I mean? And then stay true to those. So one thing that I did was that I wanted to journal every morning and every night, similarly to how I just described to you, while on my trip, and just have check-in points. You know, I wanted to ask myself, you know, how did today go? You know, how do you feel about today? How do you feel about how today went? Do you feel, I felt anxious. I feel excited, I feel restful, I feel, you know, full, whatever it is, write that down. And then I asked myself, hold on, let me pull it up real fast so that I have my journal right here. Oh my gosh, let's get there, babe. Let's get there, sis. Okay. So, and then I would say, what did you learn? Oh, this is at the end of the night. I would ask myself, what did you learn? Like, what did you learn today? What were your moments of awareness? So, and then finally, So I asked myself at the end of the day, I would ask, what did you learn? What were your moments of awareness? What were your moments of gratitude? And how can we make tomorrow even better? And I loved that that question came out of me, I don't know, to my own horn, but no, I love that that came to me, because it's like, how can I be more intentional about tomorrow? Like, what are some things that I want to work on very specifically tomorrow that maybe I didn't get to today? And it's not a self-deprecating thing. It's just a checking in and a heightened level of awareness and intentionality thing. So for example, one of the things that I wanted to do while on my trip was to get better at the next day was to put the phone down. Put your phone down, practice being more present. Be okay with solitude. Be okay with the discomfort of solitude, even boredom. So that was one of my goals, was to just be okay with being with myself and not feeling like I have to pick up my phone every second when I'm alone or at a restaurant eating by myself. Just enjoy being present, being bored, being uncomfortable, being okay with that. One of my second goals was to make tomorrow better, was to practice being decisive. Now, I do struggle with indecision. I can't lie. I think it's in the genes, but also it really got stirred up from being married. And I just have one of those husbands. It's just, I think when you're in a relationship, it's just natural to be like, I don't know, babe, what do you think? Where do you think we should go? Maybe not for everyone, but for me, I've always had someone like to kind of ask a second opinion. Like, I don't know, babe, where do you think we should eat tonight? Babe, like, you know, what do you think about this idea? Like, you know, should I go for it? Should I not? Like, I always had him as somewhat of a crutch, you know what I mean? And not realizing it was that. But when I did, I was like, oh, nah, sis, like, we got to nip that in the bud and find your identity as an individual again. So I just wanted to practice being decisive and being decisive quickly. So that meant tomorrow, the next day when I woke up and I went to a coffee shop, I looked at the menu and I ordered whatever the first thing I saw was, like, whether I would like it or not, you know? So I remember once going to a coffee shop and I was like, oh, can I have a chai tea latte? They're like, we don't have chai tea here, ma'am. And I'm like, I remember feeling that anxiety for just a second, that I was like, I can't look to the left or right. And instead of saying to the guy at the bar or the coffee shop, like, well, what does Susie get when she comes? What does Jesse get? Blah, blah, blah. I was just like, okay, cool. So what do you guys have? Okay, we have a matcha latte. We have a standard like coffee latte, whatever. I'm like, okay, well, I don't do coffee, so I'll take the matcha latte. Never had matcha latte before. Never had matcha anything, even though that's like all the rage right now. Never had it. Didn't really like it, but it didn't matter because I made my decision. The goal was to make my decision and to make it quickly. And I was really proud of myself for literally one, trying something new, doing it alone, and making a decision quickly without having to like, I don't know, like, let me look at the menu 10 million times and then make my decision. So really, really big win for me. And I learned that I didn't like matcha. So sue me if you're a matcha fan, but not my thing, but that's okay. And I think that the reason why I'm able to say that, like, hey, that's okay, is because I had this awakening and this epiphany on this trip that experiences, no matter whether they're good, bad, or neutral, all serve you. Like, they serve you in some capacity or another. Like, we are never meant to exist in just one silo of those things. Well, actually, in the beginning of time, we only were exposed to experience good. But that's a story for another time. Go read your Bible. You know what I'm talking about. Adam and Eve messed it up for all of us. But no, my point is that, you know, both good and bad experiences are shaping you and forming you if you're able to take those experiences and use them to be like formative for you. You know, what are my takeaways? Like, what are the things that I did or didn't like about this? And me not liking matcha tea informed myself, my conscience, that, hey, this is not for me. Like, you know, and I think that sometimes we go through things and we want, you know, we want to be unscathed by life. Like, we don't want to experience any sadness. We don't want any rain. We just want to be like 75 and sunny every day of our life. But you literally can't even appreciate the good things that happen and come into your life without the bad things that, you know, that rain, you know, rain falls on all of us. So, but outside of that, just our experiences in general, they're all shaping you. So we don't have to like be anxious about, like, even on your trip, like, am I going to have a good time? Ah, what if everything doesn't go perfectly? What if it rains? What if it doesn't? Like, you know, allow yourself to like become the person that like is able to adapt and see, what you're getting from your experience just by inserting yourself and being present in whatever comes your way. Okay, I have a special treat for you. We're about 30 minutes into our show, so that like summarizes my trip. But if you want to stick around, it's up to you. Obviously, I would love if you do. I recorded my journey on my solocation, like literally every day, as much as I could remember. I recorded like how I was feeling that day and what my takeaways were. So I kind of just summarized everything for you. But if you want to hear a little bit of a storytelling and literally inserting yourself into my trip with me, then feel free to stick around. I'm going to insert those clips here and then I'll come back and sum them up and say goodbye. So here's that. Listen in. Okay, so I'm at the airport, and so begins my journey of my first official trip by myself. So I'm going to try to catch my flight that leaves in an hour. I'm running a little bit late, but just say goodbye to my babies and hubby. And I'm feeling excited, a little nervous, because I just want to get on the plane. And I don't really know where I'm going because I'm on the international side, but let's see. Second floor. International terminal. I'm going to try to see if I can make this plane, and then I'll check back in when I'm sitting down. I will not call you if you're right. For boarding, and it's 6:38. My gate closes at 7, my flight's at 7:15. Freaking out a little bit, can't lie. My first decision point is figuring out whether I should try to jump this line, but I can't. So,
I mean, they were right next to you.
I don't know. I will call Aaron, but I don't know. I feel like I just try to get through this one by myself. And it's hard, because I wish he was here to help me figure it out. But he's not, so. Yeah. Let's see if I can do this. Okay, so I made it by the grace of God. Is that cool with me?
Lean forward.
I don't know, I'm not.
Over your head. Wrap around your waist.
All right, so I made it, and
currently in route.
A water activated
so
light is attached to each vest.
I had to run my...
When the aircraft pulled down on the red tab at the bottom of the vest.
Insane, but I made it. And I skipped somewhere in the security checkpoint line and got through that hurdle. So, yay for overcoming. Stepping out of comfort zones and all that. And making it on my plane. Okay, I think this might be better. So, anyway, so my sister picked me up from the airport, and everything was good. Like, I'm here at my friend Chantel's beautiful townhome, and she's actually out of town. I thought, how perfect for my first night to kind of just be alone and, you know, settle in a little bit. And I don't know, I think it's being in someone else's space is a little nerve-wracking as well, but, you know, at first I was just going to take my shower, which I did, and go back down to her amazingly comfortable couch downstairs and just binge on some Netflix. But as I was getting out the shower, I was just thinking, you know, maybe I should literally just sit here in the quiet and, you know, just sit in silence and allow the noise of the day and the rushing to the airport and all of that to just settle and be okay with just being by myself in the quiet, which I rarely get to do, and just sit here for as long as I need to. Maybe fall asleep early, maybe eventually go back downstairs, but I just want to stop for a second and take in this moment, the fact that everyone who, you know, everything that aligned and who's working together so that I can have this moment, I'm grateful for. My husband and autopsy who are with the kids for the next 3 days so I can have this time. I'm thankful for our finances that just allow me to have the luxury of taking a trip like this. To my friend Chantel for opening up her home, her beautiful home, even though she's not here. I mean, we're good friends, you know, from college, but still, that means a lot for someone to open up their space to you when they're not even there. You know, so I'm grateful for that. And it's, you know, it's a very calming space. And I felt like God knew what I needed. And I just want to take that in for a second. So I'm going to do that. Feeling at ease, a little bit nervous, a little anxious about what my goals are for the trip. I also am going to spend some time just thinking about what is it that I want to get out of this the next 3 days. And otherwise, it's going to plan me, you know, between my friends asking what I'm doing or, you know, my sister. I don't want my days to plan me. I want to be in, you know, control of my time and my days. So I'm going to take some time and think about what's important. What do I want to take away each day? How do I want to spend that time and be intentional about it? So I'm going to try to do that as anxiety-free as I can and then maybe do some meditation, mindfulness, and journaling. Thinking about starting and ending my day with those two practices. So when I wake up, the first thing I do is have at least 30 minutes of meditation, mindfulness, prayer, worship, and ending my day the same way, meditation, mindfulness, prayer, worship, journaling, and we'll see what else comes of it. Good morning. Today's Friday, my first official morning here, and I am feeling really anxious. I went to bed kind of late, like 1 in the morning. And I went to bed because I was planning out my day, how I want to spend the day. And I spent literally 2.5 hours trying to plan down to the hour how I want to spend my time. And to be honest with you, afterward, I just felt really,
just felt really, sucky. Like, I felt kind of like, Tanya, like, let go of your need to feel like this has to be some kind of perfect trip or to have everything planned out. I did do some journaling to ask myself, what is it that's motivating me? What's motivating me to, you know, feel like I have to be in such control? Part of it is fear. I'm afraid that if I don't, that I'm going to miss out on something, that this time won't be used efficiently, that I'm going to look back and regret not seizing the day more or making more opportunities, making a greater opportunity of this scarce time that I never really get. And so that pressure feels a little bit insurmountable right now. So I was trying to plan. I got some good ideas down, but I told myself that I wasn't going to do that, that I was going to just spend some time quieting my spirit and sitting and, you know, allowing just rest to come to me. And instead, I just stayed on my phone looking up a million and one things to do. But no judgment. We're going to let that go. I'm also this morning feeling a little bit frustrated and anxious because I didn't talk with my husband last night. And this morning he's really stressed out also because he just called me. I just got off the phone with Aaron and I completely forgot to just do all the things to help our morning routine be more successful for him, for getting Elijah off to camp and out the door. There's a lot of steps. It's like, you know, making sure he has a swimsuit and making sure he gets sunscreen applied and making sure his hot lunch is packed in his canteen and then he has snacks and where's his backpack? His backpack is in the car. Take all the wet stuff from yesterday out of his backpack, put it in the dryer, and it's just a lot. Not to mention he has to do that and go to work, so I feel really bad about forgetting that. Then I'm also waking up and realizing I didn't pack pajamas. I did not pack money. I don't have money. I only have a credit card. And I don't have deodorant. And I have to somehow figure out how to get all of these items, particularly the cash, because I don't have a bank card. I only have a credit card on me. And I don't know. Normally that's not a big deal, but I went to do a couple walking tours. And you need cash to really enjoy it and tip and do all those things. And I don't have it. So I'm kind of frustrated with myself about that. But like, I literally woke up with my mind just like off, and it's off, like off to the races. Like, I'm trying to listen to my meditation app and it wasn't working. And then I tried putting on some worship music and that's not working. Like, I can't figure out how to just chill out, like how to calm my mind down, to let go, allow the day to come to me. And I just want to chill out. Like, I just want to take a deep breath and relax. Like, I'm so overwhelmed and consumed by things that, and knowing that makes it even worse. Like, knowing I'm anxious triggers my anxiety. So it's a whole thing that I'm trying to get past right now. But I am gonna just try to pray and, I don't know. I need to stop putting all these expectations on myself. Mind, quiet your mind. Help me, Lord. Okay, I'm gonna go.
Wow. What a morning. I'm completely dressed and I'm literally stuck to the couch with anxiety. I hate to just use that word and keep throwing it out there, but I am. I had a little bit of a breakdown on the phone with my husband this morning just because I am so overwhelmed. Like, I just want the trip to be perfect. The tickets that I booked to the things that I wanted to do last night that I stayed up all last night trying to plan for are, I think I might have already said that, but those tickets are gone. And so now I'm trying to replan my entire trip and I'm like really overwhelmed. And, you know, I'm trying to like change things from Friday to now Sunday because, of course, everything's booked up for Saturday and just realign my schedule. But I don't know, I can't get out of my head and I can't get out of this house because I don't know where to go and I don't want to pay for an Uber to get to Miami three times. And I literally feel stuck. But you know what? This is for the experience. And so I need to shift my thinking. Like, whether the experience is good or bad, like, it's literally an experience. And I have to work through the scarcity mindset of that I'll never get this opportunity again and all those things. Like, I want to just be in the moment so bad, and I don't know how. And I don't know, just really struggling to figure out what to do next. I really, really am. Like, I'm having a hard time making decisions right now. Okay, so the day started out a little rough, like I said. It's 2, almost 3 o'clock, and I'm finally out and about, walking around a familiar place, just in my old stomping grounds, my neighborhood, this little outdoor shopping area called Shops at Pembroke Gardens. Super cute, but mainly, I actually had to, it's funny because I was trying to leave my friend's place and the door, like the key was getting jammed, and literally I felt like every single move I tried to make in a forward direction kept setting me back. Like it was and it had nothing to do with the door, per se. It was just, like, me. Like, everything kept triggering me. Like, why can't I get myself out of here and get myself somewhere where I want to be? Anyway, but so I ended up, like, sitting on the couch. I had to, like, sit down. Whew, I don't know why I'm out of breath. Shall? Anyway, all I'm doing is walking. I ended up sitting on her couch for a little while and watching some Netflix and just calming down a little bit, like just chilling out, just chill out and take all the pressure off. And I cozied up. My favorite thing to do is like get a good blanket and put on a good Netflix show and just zone out for a little bit. So I watched something and that really helped to calm me down. Fully clothed, like all dressed up, nowhere to go. And I just sat there and I was like, I'm just gonna watch a show, forget all that. And so that was really good for me, and that it gave me some time to regroup. And then, Victoria's Secret himself. And then, oh my God, it is hot out here. What in the hell? It is hot, hot, hot. Oh, Jesus. So anyway, and then after that, I was like, I called my nephew, who lives out here, to come pick me up. And I'm like, all right, nephew, come pick me up. I need to go get some deodorant at the store because it is hot as hell. And then that was good to kind of like be with someone for a moment and be with him, and we got to talk, and I needed PJs. I forgot to pack PJs, so I'm walking through my friend's house with like nothing on, so let me go get some PJs from the store. So anyway, but in terms of moments of awareness, like I'm finally at the place where I'm like, okay, take the pressure off of yourself. Let go of perfection. There is no perfection. This is an experience. It's a learning experience, and enjoy it. Like, enjoy whatever comes. Like, whatever comes of it, enjoy being right there. And so, so that's what I'm doing. I'm walking around here. My nephew dropped me off, so I'm alone again. And just walking in stores and, you know, doing that whole thing. And now I'm going to eat some food by myself, get a table for myself by myself, have a drink by myself, and enjoy my own company. And so on to the next chapter. I'm going to meet up with a friend later, and we're going to catch up. I haven't seen her in forever, so I chose to use the rest of my day to catch up with one of my good friends, and we're going with the flow, and it feels good to finally just let go a little bit and not have everything so planned out, but then plan some things out. So cheers to wins and to losses. Cheers to things not going according to plan and things going according to plan. It's all good. It's all good.
So today is the end of day one, and I feel really good. I feel content. If I had to sum up how I'm feeling right in this very moment, I would say I feel content. I feel grateful. I feel at peace. And I feel like the day was what it was supposed to be. And I'm particularly grateful for the insights and moments of awareness that I had while journaling today. And I just want to share some of those things before I drift off to sleep. First moment of gratitude before I share that. Just the fact that I'm here in, again, my friend's. The fact that I'm here in my friend's space and it's quiet and I literally have this time for myself to rest, listening to Hillsong lullabies and, you know, just melodies on my playlist as I drift to sleep. I feel full. I feel content. And that my biggest takeaway is that no matter what, whether good or bad, every moment that I experience, every moment that we experience is a teachable moment. It's a moment to be aware, to see, to be introspective, and to be taught something. Life is literally just an extended teachable, life is literally one teachable moment after the next. And I think once I kind of came to grips with that and realized that, that means that anything that happens in my day, whether good, bad, or neutral, I can be content with it. I can sit in that and just be okay, you know, to be able to say, what am I learning in this moment? And I think that that helped, you know, with the key getting jammed today and having to sit on the couch for a little while. That was a moment for me to just stop trying to make the day be something and just be okay with what it is. I know it sounds all deep, but for me, that really helped. Good morning. Today is day two. Today's day two. It's 5:45 in the morning. I do not want to get out of this bed right now, but I'm going to. I'm gonna get up. My sister's on my way to get me so that we can go sick yoga class on Miami Beach for the sunrise and then get breakfast after. So I'm really looking forward to that. But oh my gosh, right now I just want to lay here for a few more hours.
Okay, good morning. Today is going to be a good day. This is my official last day here in Florida, in Miami, on my solo getaway. And I'm currently walking to catch my Uber. Don't want to get hit by a car, so let me move over. Anyway, I hope I'm in the right place. But it's going to be a good day. I have a tour scheduled today. It's really hot, but of Little Havana and like Wynwood or the Art District in Miami. And I'm doing it by myself, and I'm super proud of myself for getting up this morning, calling my Uber, and, you know, doing the damn thing, booking the trip. This is good for me, and I'm excited about it. I have good energy running through me. Just want to catch my Uber and get there on time and not melt in this heat. What else? Yesterday was really good. We woke up, my sister and I. My sister picked me up around 6:30 in the morning, and we went to a yoga class on the beach. And it was hot as hell, and it was, but it was really good. Just being comfortable with the uncomfortable. You know, we had to put our bodies in positions we weren't typically used to putting them in, and so that's uncomfortable. But I feel like more than anything, it stretched me, and it was a fun memory for me to have with my sister and with my nephew, Julian. And I just thought about how hot it was and how, like, man, sometimes life is uncomfortable. In order to grow, in order to stretch yourself, you have to be willing to put yourself in uncomfortable positions and positions of discomfort, let's call it that. And so, what road is this? This is not Taft. I really hope I'm going the right way. And so, yeah, that's what we're doing, but more on that later because I gotta catch this Uber. To be just doing this for myself. It's been the best decision I've made all year, and I can't wait to talk more about it. So I did a tour of Little Havana today, and just the culture, the people, learning about the history of Miami as it relates to the Cuban population has been so good. And now I'm gonna go do some more fun things, so check in later.
Okay, so it is officially 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm pretty much just now getting into bed. Today was my last day in Florida for my solocation, and today was an amazing day. I will never forget this day. It truly, truly was. Not only did I just have a really good time seeing a lot of great friends and meeting new people, but it was just a day where I really got to stretch and push myself. And I'm just so proud. I'm proud of me. I know that sounds weird to say, but I am proud to see myself do things I never would have thought, not in a million years, but I never would have thought I would have done, especially without my husband. And so the day started with me around 6 a.m. waking up, getting dressed, calling an Uber for 7 a.m. to go to downtown Miami, to Art District and Design District for my first tour of the area. And apparently this tour was like a photography tour. So this guy, he's like following me and another younger lady that was also on the tour around, taking pictures of us in this like iconic spots all over the art district, and absolutely beautiful art. I mean, just breathtaking. The colors, the murals. It was such a dope experience, and we had so much fun. Like, the girl I met was a complete stranger. Her name was India. And we had a great time just kind of getting up earlier than the city. No one was around, and finding these really unique spots to take photos. And, just so many things about that. Like pushing myself outside of my comfort zone to catch an Uber early in the morning and, you know, take pictures. And even though I wasn't always comfortable with posing, I pushed myself to keep trying things and to be confident and reassured and, love myself, you know, and it was just great. You know, even I remember one time I really wanted a shot that wasn't on the list, and just something as simple as asking for it. Hey, do you mind taking a picture of me over here? Not do you mind if yeah, because, like, a whole bunch of words like, hey, Juno, can you take a picture of me right here, please? Simple as that. Like, oh man, there's so much to say about today. So this tour was amazing. After the tour, I did another tour. I did a tour of Little Havana, which was so good. So I'm from Miami. I was born here, and I know nothing about Miami culture and all the pockets of town, including the Cuban population and these other populations, but I literally felt like I stepped into Cuba. Like, I literally felt like I stepped into Havana, Cuba, and I got a taste of a completely new culture, and it was amazing to be able to experience and hear the history of the nation and the people of Cuba and try their fruit and their drinks and their hear about their Afro-Cuban population and slavery as it relates to, you know, their country and our country and our so many good things. I had a Cuban sandwich for the first time, even though I don't eat ham, but I wanted to try it as authentic as possible. So I had a Cuban sandwich. I tried Cuban coffee for the first time. I held a Cuban cigar. I did not smoke it, but I did hold a Cuban cigar. And my good friend Adrian met up with me on the tour. For the second half, I had a mojito, an authentic Cuban mojito at the end. That was amazing. Ugh, so many new experiences, and I feel so full. Like, I feel so proud. Like, I can't explain it, and it feels weird to say that again, but I am, and it is, and I'm gonna be repeating myself because it's gonna be coming on 22 hours of being awake in the next 2 minutes. So here I am now, finally in the bed after taking a shower and winding down, and now I have to wake up in an hour and a half. So that is the end of that. Tomorrow I go home to my husband and my kids, my babies. I miss them, but this was amazing, and I definitely plan to do more trips like this as I just fall in love with who I'm becoming. Like, I'm literally falling in love with myself. And I mean that in the best way possible. And it's a really, really good feeling to begin to be comfortable in my own skin and love myself. And it's finally all making sense what that means now. And I'm just so full. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. I'm content. I am free. I feel free. I feel so many incredible energized. I feel liberated. Ugh, I can go on forever, but today was a good day. Today was a good day. Good night. My eyes are shutting, and I'm going to take a 1 hour nap before I have to wake up and go to the airport. Peace.
Okay, that is it. I am officially wrapping up. my trip. I'm walking through the airport and about to be reunited with Aaron and Elijah, who came with them. I'm so excited to see them. Bittersweet to have it in my trip, but at the same time, obviously, I miss my family. So yeah, that is it for me. All good things must come to an end. Until next time, peace.
All right, y'all, that is a wrap. Thank you for hanging with me. If you're still here, shout out to you if you are still here hanging with me right now. I hope that that story resonated with you. And listen, I want to know where you're going for your soul location. Like, at this point, if you're still listening, there's somewhere on your mind that you're wanting to go, that you know you need to book a ticket to. Let me hear about it. Come hit me up on Inkfully on Instagram. I would love to have a conversation with you about your takeaways and know where you're going. 2019 is coming to an end, okay? Make it a goal. 2020, the very latest. All right, y'all, I'm going to go. My voice hurts. I have to go. Love well, be well, and ink fully. Peace.